Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I am in between two amazing men with Parkinson's.
Oh, where's our new group?
Amazing Men with Parkinson's. Yes, sounds like a
sounds like our next.
Yeah.
Where is Melissa? Well, we have Carl Beach here with us today. Carl.
Yeah, it's been amazing to be with you.
He swam over.
Yeah. He swam over.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it amazing, a long swim?
It was a very long swim. Yeah, especially with a bad white arm. But yeah, I don't know how long have I been here now? Is it 3 days?
You've been here for 3 days.
It feels like 3 months.
And we just stop. And it's, I wish we could show a picture of what it looks like outside because it's glorious. Cool. 85 degrees.
Yeah.
Sunny.
Balmy, tropical, beautiful.
It was the coldest week this week.
It's even worse.
I know. But it was like the coldest. But anyway, so thank you so much for coming.
It's been a pleasure.
We had you on just 2 months ago or a month ago.
Yeah.
And we saw amazing things with your beach band.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen that episode, catch that episode. I can't remember what number it is, but it doesn't matter. Steve will put it up on the screen. Welcome to The Secret Life of Parkinson's, a podcast created by people living with Parkinson's to help break the stigma of a disease no one likes to talk about. Now, here are your hosts, Jessica Krauser and Brian Baker. But we asked you to come over, and you said yes, and we made plans, and what do you think?
Well, firstly, thanks so much for your hospitality. All jokes aside, we just absolutely love being here. You treated us so well, and we're hugely grateful. Not only that, I've had some brilliant sweets and it's incredible chocolate.
Chocolate and root beer.
I know, root beer. I just, my love of root beer is, apart from that first restaurant where I didn't realise you get refillables, and I had about 4 litres, and then I hated root beer that evening, but now... I'm back on form, yeah, so... But no, it's been an amazing trip, and actually, not stressful, but it was a big test because, you know, I've obviously been using the beach band with people and demonstrating it, you know, in one-to-one settings and so on, or just in small groups. But I think the biggest moment was you pulled together a large group at the gym, Melissa's gym, and which, by the way, is amazing. You know, I've not seen anything like that. A dedicated Parkinson's gym with a real amazing community was phenomenal, actually. But to then walk in and see them all sitting in rows.
And did that scare you?
No, I mean, I love giving talks, but it was a thought that then they're going to come out the front and say, try the band on my symptoms. You know, that's a vulnerable place to be when you've invented something and your name's on it, you know. Yeah. But amazing. You know, it was amazing what we saw happen. And then again, last night, a great meeting at the barn with a group of people. So... and other stuff in between. It's been brilliant, and exceeded all our expectations, and exceeded my expectations about the device. And I've even learned it can do things on me that I didn't realize. Well, my balance is slightly compromised, and it has been getting progressively worse. I think it's one of those things that you try and ignore because you don't like it. You know, I've always been quite a precise person. I did a lot of judo back in the day, rugby and so on. Always been well balanced, but that's been a struggle. But when we were in the gym, someone said to me they've been struggling with their balance, and I said, well, try the band. And they put it on the same side arm that they struggled with their balance on, and it looked worse. So I said, well, pop it on the other arm, and they were rock solid. Now I said, well, put one on each arm, and they were rock solid on both legs. And I did it myself only this morning, actually, in the hotel lobby with Richard, and I was like a flamingo. I couldn't believe I could stand on one leg and flap my arms about. I'm like, I'm incredibly stable with the device on, and I didn't even know it could do that. So yeah, incredible.
That's awesome. What are your thoughts? Because, I mean, yes, when we saw the video or when we were interviewing Carl, we were both like in awe, but it still takes and it's, I hate even saying that. It's like you want to, yes, believe that this can happen, but you're still like, but it's so simple. Like, how does that work? And so you being a pretty big skeptic.
No, I mean, I've been.
Not in a bad way. I'm just saying.
I'm usually pretty skeptical, but pessimistic. Yes. No, but I thought this thing's got to work. He's onto something from the get go. I think you and I both did. And the results from seeing those people this week was just confirmed. It does work.
Yeah.
And had I not been there, I don't know if I'd be a believer, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, but.
Because it's the range of symptoms, right? It's the range of things that it deals with. I mean, even one lady, she was getting quite bad dystonia in the gym. And all I did was, I didn't even strap it on her. I just held it on her arm and her dystonia eased completely.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't believe that unless you see it, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not a cure, so I don't know, you know, people were expecting it to, oh my gosh, I don't have Parkinson's anymore. No, it's a tool that we're going to be able to use hopefully to help with our symptoms.
That's what I think was really important that you called out, and you have too. Yeah. It's like, this is not an end-all, be-all.
It's not going to stop progression.
It's just something that we can use, and again, like, our nonprofit is all about how do we live better right now.
Yeah. It's going to be affordable for people to be able to buy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing is, if somebody was, you know.
You have the watch on, right?
Yeah.
Turn it on. Okay. Might take you a little bit, but.
Anyway.
I'd like to hear you speak clearly.
What are you trying to say?
You were mumbling. All right, anyways, no.
Anyway, but, you know, we had a couple people that it didn't work on, and we had one person last night that their tremor got worse. Now,
which is really interesting.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because is it?
Yeah. Now I've got a theory about that with tremor. We think we need a different device of tremor that's adjustable, because I found
the frequency.
We found that if the tremor that someone has, the hertz of the tremor, the speed of the tremor, is within a range of the beach band, then it either diminishes completely or stops. If it's outside of the range of the beach band, it either amplifies the tremor. Or has no impact, which tells me there is a clinical process taking place. This isn't placebo, like something's happening. Right. So I think for tremor in particular, the Parkinson's tremor, we need to be able to have, say, 4 or 5 settings. I don't think it needs to be a big range.
Mm-hmm.
It just needs to get within the range of the tremor. But with benign essential tremor, as we saw last night, it stops it dead in nearly every single case, which is fascinating. Yeah. Parkinson's tremor needs to be an adjustment. Benign essential tremor just stops it.
And there's a lot of people with benign essential tremor.
Yeah.
Like, it's more common than I thought it was.
Yeah, like I said, and it did work. I mean, the majority of the people that I saw try it on, they had some type of, they said, yeah, this is improving and that's improving. We had the gentleman yesterday who had the essential tremor.
Yeah, he had essential tremor.
And he was amazed because he wasn't expecting to try it. He was, you know, I think he just locked it on his wrist and said, here, try this, let me know how it goes.
Yeah.
He was amazed.
But he came running over to me and went, I'm a believer.
Yeah.
It stopped my tremor.
Like, well, because he was even holding a wine glass, because he said he, like, even just recent times that he's been out, he's like, my left has been getting worse. And he's like, I'm literally watching myself hold this and I'm not dropping it and it's not moving. He's like, he was just.
He was quite emotional actually about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we had people get emotional at the gym the other night or the other day when we were giving it. Same thing. Yeah, you know, it was stopping the tremor. It was helping them walk better.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's the fascinating thing. Yeah. Right? That's, well, some people were saying, I want this to help my voice. And then they found actually it was their walking that improved, or dyskinesia, and not their voice. But then when they got used to the device, then they realized they were speaking louder as well. So it's really strange. And people have expectations.
Yeah.
But then different things happen. So,
we're going to show a couple clips that we took at the gym just the other day of people at PD Next Steps. But to that point, I took people in the back so that we could just walk on our own.
Right.
Because I think they were like at first, you know, nervous.
Yeah, there's a big crowd.
Anxiety, there was a big crowd.
No.
And which, you wanted to kind of get them off their adrenaline rush of being in front of everybody, I think, too.
Which was then, I guess, probably not the best idea, because then we didn't get a good before. But we have plenty of video of these individuals because we work out with them all the time. But anyways, when I was walking with two of the guys separately, they were so focused on their walk. And I was just having a conversation with them because I was focused on their speech. And they didn't even realize how much better their speech was.
Yes, right.
And so, because they were like, so they were so excited about the ability to, like, you know, walk and have that flexibility. And what everybody said is, like, they just felt a calmness, or like the tension just, like, all, like, relaxed and kind of, like, you know, just does something. And so then when Melissa came in the room and she was like, well, you know, how's your speech? And they both said separately, they're like, well, you know, I'm sure it can be better. I'm like, you just had an entire conversation with me without stopping, stuttering. And I understood everything you said.
Yeah.
I was like, so it's just something that they didn't even catch.
Yeah. Really interesting, isn't it? Like, it's almost, you get so overwhelmed by something else, you don't realize you've got the gain elsewhere. Or you've got so used to you thinking, I just can't speak normally. Mm-hmm. When it starts happening, you don't even recognize it because we've so programmed ourselves to think we can't speak. Yeah. And that's another interesting thing. Like, when we tried it on people with severe freeze of gait, they were looking at their feet, expecting still not to be able to walk. And I was having to say to people, no, just look at me.
Mm-hmm.
And look where you want to go. And actually, you are going to be able to walk now. And as soon as we did that, they're like, oh, yeah, I can. Because I think what Parkinson's teaches us after many years, you can't do this anymore. And you are going to fall, or you are going to freeze. You put the beach band on, and you just get used to it. And go, actually, remember how you used to walk before you had Parkinson's?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, one guy, wasn't it, Denny, he... Mm-hmm. He went straight through doorways, which he's never been able to do for a long time.
He hasn't been able to do it for a couple of years.
Yeah, and then I said, what about the doorway? And he went, what doorway? Because he just went straight through it. And that was quite emotional to witness, actually. Yeah. He said to me, I'm not going to let you get on a plane unless you leave this with me. So I said, I can't do that. I felt so bad. But
that's soon enough that'll come. Yeah. Were you going to say something?
Yeah, and just the simple fact of people noticing things about others that they don't notice about themselves. For example, when we were having dinner the other night, you know, you guys noticed that I was eating a lot smoother, I guess, as you say, more fluent.
Yeah.
Using my utensils a little bit more fluently.
Oh, that was really interesting because you said, I don't think it's making a difference. Why are you saying that? You were turning away going, well, I don't really think it's making a difference. You're just
I'm shoving food in my mouth as fast as I can.
Chatting away.
You're like, I haven't gone this fast.
Do you notice
so
how much you're talking and how fast you're eating?
Yeah.
You went, oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Then we turned it off and you were like, just slow again.
Yeah, so that, you know, like, sometimes it's like we might be focusing on other things, like you'd said, voice, walk, whatever, and then we don't even realize that it's actually helping other parts of our...
Yeah. All right, so let's take a minute real quick, and we're going to show the clip of Denny walking. So check this out.
This is Denny, a retired Major General of the United States Army. In 2022, he was diagnosed with Parkinson's, bringing new challenges to his life. One of the toughest is freezing gait, a symptom that makes walking difficult. Even a short walk from his couch to his bedroom can take several minutes, as his feet sometimes feel stuck. But thanks to an amazing tool called the Beach Band, Denny has found a way forward. By simply strapping it on, Denny can get up out of his chair and go on his way with ease, overcoming moments when he would otherwise feel frozen. With tools like this and his unshakable determination, Denny continues to inspire everyone around him.
So that video was amazing. I mean, I was actually there with him. His wife was there. And to be honest, he did that And he did it so well, and he was in front of people. So right. I actually felt bad, and I was like, I wanted to, you know, tell everybody, kind of like scatter a little bit, give him some room. Mm. But you had to help him, though, like you said, with some good cues. So I think that's important for people to know when this does come out.
Yeah.
There is still some, it's not just putting it on, and it's like, no. I'm good.
I mean, some people, they put a device on, and they're just good to go.
Mm-hmm.
Other people need a bit of encouragement. And there were things like, you know, Danny... was walking through doorways, getting in and out of chairs.
Up and down out of the chair.
But then suddenly he started looking at his feet and, you know, he started focusing on a device and he could see that he was overthinking. And I just walked over to him and I went, let me show you something. I just knocked the device off.
Mm-hmm.
So give it 20 seconds, pop it back on. He was good to go again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he's like, break that loop in his mm-hmm. mind, which is, I can't do this, I can't do this.
Yeah.
Because there is a knack to using the device for different things that are happening. Now, for my speech is all right at the moment. But if I try to balance on one leg, my speech would fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
If I try and do certain things I can't do, then something about bandwidth restriction.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to tell myself, you know, don't look at the device when I turn it on. Don't follow the mm-hmm. beat. Ignore it as much as you can. And when I mean ignore, you can't ignore that something's vibrating on your wrist, but don't follow the rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So things like that for speech. For walking, again, don't follow the beat. Just think, okay, it's there and I can walk. It's mm-hmm. fine. If you start focusing on it too much,
mm-hmm.
it seems to compromise its ability to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
However, for other things, you do want to look at it. So if your left hand's tremoring, you get fixated on your left hand's tremoring. So I said, well, just look at the device. Just, you know, take your attention away from that. And then they'll look around and their hands stop tremoring.
Huh.
So it's really weird. And then for some people, you know, if your balance is compromised on the right side, we say, well, put the device on the left side.
Because that worked with...
And that works for me.
Yeah.
You know, so if I put it on my left arm, I'm rock solid on my right side. But for you, when we put it on your left leg mm-hmm. that was trembling, we actually put it on your ankle.
Yeah.
And that stopped your leg from trembling on that side.
Mm-hmm.
So that's...
Yeah. You know, it's not... Like I said, whenever these come out, people are going to have to play with them a little bit.
Yeah.
Play with it a bit.
Yeah.
Have fun with it.
Yeah, because like I said, it does... Which amazed me. I was like, well, wouldn't you put it on your tremor side, the side of the tremors? But no.
It actually amplifies the tremor sometimes.
Yeah.
When you put it on the side of the tremor, it seems to amplify the tremor.
Right.
It's crazy.
It amplifies it. What side do you have yours on right now?
My left side, because my right side is
the affected?
More affected side.
Okay. Did you try it on both?
No.
Hmm.
How does it feel with it on at the moment? Because you're sounding clear.
Sounding clearer. You sounded clearer yesterday.
Yeah. Well, it's that relaxing feeling that you get. It just kind of starts at your shoulders and just kind of works its way right down.
Yeah. It's a super calming device, actually. There was only one person who said, this is really annoying me. He said, it's really aggravating. So when I put the smartwatch on him, which we've got an app now for smartwatches, Android watches, he was a lot better with it, actually, and came back to me later saying, this is really good. I really like this.
Because it's almost like a softer...
Yeah, it's softer.
Yeah, there is a... I tried the smartwatch. It is a softer, not as aggressive vibration in that. And I didn't like that as much as I did the device itself. I like the more aggressive mm-hmm. vibration, I guess.
Yeah, I can just as effectively use the smartwatch, but personally I do prefer the device. I like to know that it's there. It kind of gives me a confidence knowing that it's there and I can feel it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think when we get them out to the States or anyone in the UK listening to this or Europe and you get one, you know, the worst thing you can do, I think, is put it on thinking, this is going to stop everything I've got and I'm going to be absolutely fine and get really anxious about it. Like, is this going to work? If you get anxious about it and fixated on it, it's not going to help you. The best thing you can do is put it on and just chill out for a few minutes.
And when you take it off, sit down.
Right. And that was a really good point. We've found this a lot, particularly if you've got balance or gait issues.
Yeah.
If you turn it off, a lot of people feel like they've been dropped from a cliff
mm-hmm.
or a little bit dizzy. And I think it's because you become so relaxed and, you know, so able again that when you turn it off and that signal's lost, it's just such a shock. You're like disorientated. So when you turn it off, just sit down. You know, so when I turn this off for my speech, 90% of the time, I am really bad when I turn it off. Now, I mean, I'm having to concentrate quite a bit to keep my diction this clear at the moment, because I can feel my speech is degrading because I'm speaking a lot. When I put this on, which so it's on now, there's not much discernible difference for you at the moment. Or maybe a little bit clearer, probably a little
faster.
bit faster, a little bit crisper. I'll leave this on for a few minutes, and then when I turn it off, it will shock me. I'll just like come into a halt, even though I'm peak meds, because I so relax into my speaking again, you know?
So have you noticed, does it seem to work better for people who are further down, like the with the severity of their symptoms versus not like, so like my symptoms aren't, well, actually this week and other women with Parkinson's know this, you have different weeks that you're better than others. This happens to be a good week for me, but do you think people experience it differently who are worse?
Depending on how advanced they are. I think in the early stages of PD, like really early, and let's say you've got a slightly compromised gait or the beginnings of tremor, you're probably going to find really strong impact. Like it'll probably just resolve anything. It doesn't matter about the hurts of your tremor. You'll probably just find it's going to work on it. As you then progress in the disease, like us, and you're getting dyskinesia, tremor slightly amplified, you probably need to play around with it a bit. Now, if you had dyskinesia and you put that on, I think it would stop it dead. I've seen really severe dyskinesia stop dead. When it comes to tremor, I think we need something adjustable. When it comes to dystonia, and you're, you know, more advanced in the disease, should deal with it. But what it won't do, he's doing everything at one time.
Right.
So I almost
We're from one each leg.
Yeah.
One each arm. Yeah.
Round your neck. I mean, I find that if I'm trying to, I need to walk and I put it on, I can walk fine, and then but it won't help me speak and walk. If I resolve my tremor or balance and I try and speak, then I won't speak clearly. It's almost like I can direct where I want it to help.
So one thing that I wanted to touch on as well is we had a our group get together, a small group get together just last night, and we had a movement disorder specialist there, among other people. And we were actually, I think all three of us probably had no idea what to expect from hearing from somebody in the scientific realm. Right. So do you want to explain like what he was talking about?
Yeah, I'm always nervous about that, actually, because what I'm doing is so left field. But I had some confidence because we had a woman called Sarah Rigger who's had PD for 40 years. She's a clinical researcher. She had seen the benefits of it. So I know that clinicians were starting to embrace it, as speech therapists as well. But when you're in front of an MDS and you're saying, look, this is what this thing can do, that's always a challenge. But I was so encouraged because essentially, I mean, I'm going to paraphrase a bit. So I'm trying to remember exactly what he said. But he said something like, look, actually, there is science behind what you're doing. There is established science and different strands of established science. But what no one's done before is put all those strands together, put it into one device that works. And actually, that's what you've done, and well done. You know, and I'm like, I wasn't expecting that. And he talks about distraction and signals to the brain and various other bits and pieces. Because, you know, I'm not a clinician. I'm not a scientist, you know. And so I don't make scientific claims. I'm a patient who found that something worked. But it was so good when to hear an MDS say, there actually is science, and this isn't placebo. This is a clinical thing, effectively, that's happening. And then when I was chatting to him afterwards, and he was talking about different things and technologies that they're looking at, which are quite exciting, which could link to this device, I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
This is super cool, actually.
Well, that, and he was also diagnosing people on TV, they say that person could potentially
have
functional disorder.
Yeah.
So, okay, so did you guys ever know functional disorder?
No, yeah, but so I thought I would grab the phones and start Googling.
I know.
Right, so functional neurological disorder is being diagnosed increasingly in the UK. But what he was saying was that you can have two things running together. So you can have Parkinson's and a functional neurological disorder. And an FND doesn't always respond to L-DOPA, or doesn't respond to L-DOPA.
It does not. Thing.
Does not. So he was looking at some of the videos where people were getting help from the device, like radical help from the device. He was saying, okay, she has got Parkinson's, but she also has a functional disorder. And the meds are helping the Parkinson's, but your device is clearing up the functional disorder. And he said, what you need is someone who can go and say, that's that sort of tremor, this is that sort of gait issue, and then, you know, we'll know where we're at. So almost like the device could be, it could be a diagnostic tool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I mean,
who knows what way it's going to go. But it was so good to have an expert basically saying, yes, this works, this is a thing, and actually, that's not Parkinson's, that's FND, and that's working on that, and this is working on this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wow, this is really cool.
Yeah.
You know, that is really cool.
I mean, they always say, like, how many people are misdiagnosed each year. But I never heard of FMD. I don't know.
Oh, really? Yeah.
No, I hadn't either.
Everybody started grabbing their phone
and started Googling.
So, and I tried it. You see, in the UK, I tried this on several people with FND, and their symptoms were clearing up. And they have no pharmaceutical intervention.
Okay.
So I'm like, that's very exciting.
Yeah.
You know, that's really FND. Exciting.
Why did I say FMD? Yeah, FND.
FND, a functional neurological disorder. So, and it can present really bizarrely. People can get really strange movements with it. And that's interesting because I'd looked at a couple of the videos that I'd done and thinking, that doesn't look like a Parkinson's gait. And yet I know they've got Parkinson's. So it was good to have an MDS who knows what they're talking about. Go, actually, that's this. And your device is working on that.
Yeah.
But I would be honest with you, I was just like, I was expecting this is snake oil.
Yeah.
You know, stop this terrible behaviour. Go back to the UK. Get back on the plane, you charlatan. But actually, he was really cool. Like, this thing's a thing.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very interesting at that point in time. I was like, oh, he is again. Just so
because he's taking the science.
And he had a poker face on this face.
Oh, yeah.
Through the whole of my talk, I'm like, is this guy going to kill me? Or is he going to run me out of town with the posse?
Well, the thing is, and I can kind of call him on, like, there's no science base behind this. He's like, actually, there's a lot of science behind it.
Yeah.
And he knew all about the hundreds of year history.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was saying, oh, this going back hundreds of years. I'm like, oh, yeah, I knew that. Yeah. I done my research.
Well, let's see one more clip. This is of Tom at the gym. Again, we'll try and figure out if we can get it before. Actually, we can get
it. Is this the guy who picked up
his cane? Oh, yeah, I know.
So good.
And his speaking was clear because sometimes he'll mumble like his words as well, but he was so confident, and I haven't seen him walk like that in a couple of years. So let's take a look at Tom.
My name is Tom. I was diagnosed with Parkinson's 10 years ago. I'm 78 years old. Biggest problem I have right currently is the dystonia, the curling of the toes. My feet cramp up on me. It throws my balance off, so for a while I was falling, and now I've overcome that. But it's almost impossible to do the exercises because my toes are curled under. It feels like that way. So far, I've tried to correct the problem. I've tried Botox. I've gotten injections in my bottom of my feet and my calves. Balance has become a problem. I started walking with a cane, and a friend of mine gave me a walker. I haven't gone to the walker yet, but I got it just in case it gets worse. But the cane, I keep it with me everywhere I go. And it gives me a lot of stability, but doorways give me a problem, still going through doorways, and the transition from carpet to hardwood gives me a problem. But the other big problem I've got right now is my speech. I slur my words terribly. My wife can't understand me, my kids can't have trouble, my grandkids, everybody at the gym has trouble understanding me. So it's kind of isolated me from talking to people. 2 weeks ago, I tried the Beach Band, and immediately I had clear vocabulary. My speech was clear. I could walk. There's video of me walking, and I held the cane just because I was so used to it. I held it in my hand. I didn't put it on the ground, though, and it helped my balance. The beach band gave me hope that there's something. If I cure half of my ailments, I'll be happy. Like I said, relax my feet. I think the dystonia in my feet and relax them, the muscles. This could be a game changer with my life, for me and my family. If I could correct my speech, my balance, my dystonia, I'd be the happiest person on earth. But I'm just dying to get a hold of the real thing and wear one all the time and experiment with it.
Wait. It felt like it was at a healing rally at that point when he picked his stick up.
And oh, I know.
Yeah.
That's what Brian was like. It felt like you were, yeah.
Amazing.
Like I said, it did. It felt like, if I was not.
I didn't my Benny in white suit.
If I wasn't there
if
in
I'm
person,
not there, I'm not believing
no,
this.
No, no, actually not even if I wasn't there in person. If I didn't, like if I could have still been watching it, but it's because I know these individuals personally.
Yeah.
And to see it happen, it was like, wow.
Yeah.
But to be there in person,
yeah,
was even.
But I mean, like even last night we had Liz. Liz was using dystonia and balance.
Oh yeah, and jumping jack lady.
Yes, Kathy.
Yeah.
She did jumping jacks.
Liz's toes were curling up yesterday, mm-hmm. and she put it on last night. And
yeah, amazing.
And then Dave
put his jacket on.
His jacket on without any problem very quickly.
Well, I need to get that clip off Melissa, actually.
Yeah. That was a good one, especially because I literally just helped him put his jacket on a week or two ago. And he's like, thanks. He's like, I hate when people do that
for
me.
Can you get Melissa to send that clip to me?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So now that it's out there, I know you're going to be getting like a flood of emails, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So tell us the plans and what to expect.
So we did a 2000 trial run. Ordering one in the UK in January, sold out within hours. So now we're busy looking at fulfilling those orders as fast as we can with the most high quality device we can. The device that you're looking at here is not how it's going to look. It looks sleeker, it's better designed, more robust. So
is it going to give the same vibration?
Exactly the same mechanics in terms of what you feel, but it'll just be better put together, because these are 3D printed concept devices we use to demonstrate the concept.
That, just so everybody knows, we are not allowed to keep, so don't ask me if you can get a sample, because I'm not, we can't keep them.
I don't, and the reason is, you know me now, I really want you to have these devices, but I'm, you know, these are trial devices, they're not being stamped to the right authorities and all that kind of stuff,
yeah.
So. And I don't want you people bursting
safety.
Into flames and suing me.
Yeah, people safety is definitely first.
Yeah, so
just,
absolutely.
Just hang on,
and we want to deliver high quality devices at low cost. So we're doing that in the UK, and then we anticipate going to scale manufacture around April, May time.
Okay.
When we'll say, here we go, UK, order as many as you like. We think that's going to be quite busy. And then at the same time, we're working on permissions for Europe. So you have to do things like UK CA marking, CE marking. There's an equivalent for the States. And then we hope that by the third quarter of this year, we'll either be manufacturing in the States or shipping from the UK. We've got to look at, you know, the best way forward. And, of course, there's stuff like, you know, raising the appropriate funds we need and all of that stuff. But we anticipate this being a global device by the end of 2025, and we're going to be shipping to the US as fast as we can. And of course, as you're able to, with friends like yourselves and partners, we're going to get some samples out to you so you can play around with them and stuff like that.
Awesome.
Yeah,
that's great. Thank you so much.
Great.
You always end like that.
No, it's good stuff.
It has been so much fun having you here, having you in person, being able to see these things, you know, this work in action. On myself and on others, and it's just been such a pleasure.
Oh, I just say final thing. The app will be global and is coming out in the next few weeks.
And that's for Android?
Android. Yeah, iOS, a little bit fussier of what we can do to their devices. We hope in time we will, but this will be coming out, and there'll be and a approved list of watches that we know it works on. You're going to need an Android phone as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this works really well.
Okay.
And coming up very soon.
Well, let me know when then we can just, you know, share that information. Fair. But if anybody needs information, they just need to go to your website, right?
Yeah, beechband.com.
Okay. BEECH.com. Band.com.
Band.
We'll put it out there. But all right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank
I know
you.
You're flying
thanks
out today, so I appreciate it.
Thanks for the laughs as well. And the Wendy's burger.
And the
we
Wendy's.
Had. That was really good.
I know. That was good. That was a good little lunch. Although we ate healthy all week, so we're fine.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I forgot about that. Yeah. It was the low fat Wendy's burger with no burger in it. Awesome.
In our last 30 seconds, I'll leave you with this. Parkinson's is different with everybody, no matter where you live, no matter how old you are. Our symptoms all vary. So there's different tools out there, and that's all we're trying to do. We are not doctors. We are not scientists. We are just here sharing the information that we know that is present to us today and what works for people. Again, we'll work differently for others, but check things out. Have a little patience. It's not available just yet, but we'll be giving you more information as that comes. Thanks, and we'll see you next time. The Secret Life of Parkinson's is produced by Melissa Carlson and Steve Brandenburg. To contact us, email info@thesecretlifeofpd.org. The Secret Life of Parkinson's is not responsible or liable for any medical advice, diagnosis, course of treatment, or any other information obtained through this podcast. The information provided by The Secret Life of Parkinson's is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you heard on this podcast. You are encouraged to consult a physician for a definitive diagnosis.